نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد. We have 14 more surahs to read. So now we have to be a bit fast. Surah Al-Qari'ah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, Wama adraka Mal-Qari'ah. Some of the brothers must have recalled one more surah starts in this way. Al-Haqqah, Mal-Haqqah, Wama adraka Mal-Haqqah. Al-Qari'ah, that suddenly striking calamity. Mal-Qari'ah, what is that suddenly striking calamity? Wama adraka Mal-Qari'ah, and what will make you realize what that suddenly striking calamity is? Yawma yakunu an-nasu kal-farashi al-mabsus, the scene of As-Sa'ah. It has come so many times in the Makki surahs. The day when mankind shall be like scattered moths. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِحْلِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, and the mountains shall be like carded wool. وَأَمَّا مَنْ سَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, then as for him whose balances of good deeds are heavy, فَهُوَ فِي عِشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ, he shall be in a well-pleasing life. اللهم ربنا اجعلنا منهم. وأما من خفت موازينه, and as for those whose balance of good deeds are light, فأمه هاوية, then the bottomless pit of hell will be like mother to them. وما أدراك ما هي, and what will make you realize what that is? نار حامية, a fire blazing. Surah Al-Takasur, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhaakum al-Takasur. O mankind, your rivalry for competition, for amassing riches, makes you unmindful. You want more, 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 more wealth, more riches. And you are busy in this, you are lost in this, and you remain unmindful of the real facts of life. What is going to happen? What is going to happen to you on the day of judgment? Hatta azurtumul maqabir, until you reach the graves. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. No. But then you shall come to know, you shall realize what were the realities. ثُمَّكَ اللَّهُ سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, and again, then you shall come to realize, and you will know. كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, would that you knew with knowledge of certainty. لَتَرَبُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ, you shall certainly see the hellfire. ثُمَّ لَتَرَبُنَّهَا عِنَ الْيَقِينَ, and then you shall see it with the eye of certainty. Of these two words which have appeared here, ilmul yaqeen, ainul yaqeen, there are two stages of knowledge, rather three. Ilmul yaqeen, you know something by inferring, by some logical conclusions. This is ilmul yaqeen. When you see it, this is ainul yaqeen. For example, if there is smoke rising, by ilmul yaqeen you come to know there is a fire. You have not seen the fire, but you have inferred, because there is smoke going up, so there must be fire. But when you see the fire, now this is ainul yaqeen. There is a third term used in Quran twice, haqqul yaqeen. Although this has not been used in that sense, but some of the scholars count them, that this is the third and final level of the knowledge, haqqul yaqeen. When you put your hand in that fire and it burns, now you have the real conviction this is fire. But when you are seeing the fire, maybe that this is some illusion. So maybe some hallucinations, even through senses, the knowledge that you get, you know, that can be wrong. So, ilm al-yaqeen, عين اليقين حق اليقين. For the Quran, you know, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah and then in Surah Al-Haqqah, إِنَّهُ لَحَقُّ الْيَقِينَ. This word has appeared for Quran. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then on that day you will be questioned concerning the worldly blessings that we have given you. We gave you this and this and this and this. What did you do? There is a hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. لَنْ تَزُولَ قَدَمَ ابْنِ آدَمْ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ خَمْسٍ. No human being will be able to go away when he will be made to stand before the Lord for that accountability unless he is questioned about five things. عَنْ عُمُرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَى. Regarding his age, where did you spend it? In what business? What occupation? What were you doing? وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَى. Especially the youth. The youthful, you know, when there are energies, you know. In what condition did you pass that period of the life? وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَنَكْ تَصَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. About the wealth, from where did you get it? Through permissible means or haram means, forbidden means. Where did you spend it? In the correct way? For the needy? For the deen of Allah? For your, you know, lawful rights of your body, of your children, or in luxuries, to show off your wealth, tabzir. And finally, وَعَمَّا عَمِلَ فِي مَا عَلِمَ. How much did you practice what you learned? You went on learning. You accumulated the knowledge of a library in the cells of your brain. But you are not practicing it. Then this knowledge will be used as a witness against you. الْقُرْآنُ هُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ. This Quran is either a guide for you or against you, a witness against you. Oh Allah, he read me. But then, even then, he did not practice me. ثُمَّ لَتُسَلُّنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. اللَّهُمَّ حَاسِبْنَا حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Now the most profound surah of Quran, one of the smallest surahs, Surah Al-Asr, consisting of three ayat. And there are three surahs consisting of three ayat. No surah of two ayat. The least number is three. Surah Al-Asr, Surah Al-Kawthar, Surah Al-Nasr. Three surahs. And this is the most profound, according to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. لَوْ تَدَبَّرَ النَّاسُ هَذِهِ surah لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ. If people ponder only over this surah, this will suffice to guide them. In another saying, he says, لَوْ لَمْ يُنَزَّلْ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ سِوَاهَا لَكَفَتِ النَّاسِ. If nothing was revealed to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم except this surah would have been sufficient for the guidance of humanity. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَالْعَصْرِ. By the fleeting time, the time which is running. It's going. And this is only capital you have. And like ice, it is melting. If you don't sell your ice, it will melt away. So by this time, what is that psalm of life, that poem? Art is long and time is fleeting. And our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. With every beating of the heart, we are coming closer and closer, step by step, to our graves. Just like if the dead body of a general is taken to the grave, you know, there is the beating of the drum. With each beating of the drum, this funeral is progressing. So, غافل تجھے گھڑیال یہ دیتا ہے منا دی، گردوں نے گھڑی عمر کی ایک اور گھٹا دی. When the clock rings 11, one more hour has been diminished from your life. One more hour gone. Don't say that your life is increasing. Every hour your life is decreasing. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. All mankind is doomed. To be doomed is the general rule. To be saved is an exception. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. All mankind. That is why Imam Razi says, اعلم أن هذه الآية فيها وعيد شديد لأن الله تعالى حكم بالخسار على جميع الناس إلا من كان آتيا بهذه الأشياء الأربعة وهي الإيمان والعمل الصالح والتواصي بالحق والتواصي بالصبر. أن دل ذلك أن النجاة معلقة بمجموع هذه الأشياء. There's a very big threat in this surah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that all human beings will be doomed, thrown into the hell. Except those who fulfill four conditions. And this is decisive to say that the salvation on the day of judgment depends upon fulfilling all the four conditions. Now when I started my work, this Dars of Suratul Asr was the starting point. And the selected course of study that I have edited, the starting point is Suratul Asr. I have written also, so I can't go into detail at this time. All human beings are doomed except illa allazeena amanu, except those who have faith, real faith, conviction, iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they did good deeds. And تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, they exhorted each other to whatever is correct and just. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and exhorted each other to perseverance and steadfastness. May Allah give us the courage to fulfill all these four prerequisites of salvation. Suratul Humazah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now this surah depicts a character. When somebody turns away from Allah, is not mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't think that he will be resurrected and he will have to answer his deeds, then his moral character definitely sinks down, bottom. And this is the picture. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every slanderer, defamer. This is what interests them most. Slanders and defaming people. The mean activity. الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا. Number two, who amassed wealth and kept on counting it. Seeing the balance sheet every year, oh, now these are my assets. This much I have and own. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدًا. He thinks that his wealth will make him live forever. Now what does it mean? People have used their wealth in order to make their name at least. They know we shall die, but my name should remain. These big monuments, these Ahram in Misr. Why? This is the urge to continue, if not physically, to continue living in the memory of the people. I recall, you know, a very beautiful quotation. Calm and self-possessed, still and resolute, the pyramids echo unto eternity. Defiant cry of man's will to survive and conquer the storms of time. Man wants to survive and conquer the storms of time. That is why he has built such a high pyramid for himself. Kalla,
No, not at all.
Layum bazanna fil hutama. He'll be thrown in the hutama. And what is that hutama? Wa ma'adraka mal hutama. How will you come to know what is that hutama? Narullahil muqada. It's a fire of Allah kindled by him. And don't think it's like the fire of this world. Allati tattaleo alal afida. Which will mount straight on the hearts of the people. We have today the, what they call the therapies, you know, the heat passing through the skin. Skin doesn't feel the heat. It goes to the muscles under. In the same way, fire, which is not affecting your body, straightly attacking your heart. That will be the quality of that fire. Allati tattali'u 'ala al-afida, mounts over the hearts. Innaha 'alayhim musada. And then it will be closed upon them, vaulted upon. Fi 'amadin mumaddada. In outstretched columns. A'adhan Allahu min. Now the rest of these surahs mainly deal with certain aspects of the early period of the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, Suratul Fil, the very famous incident that took place. And that was the year when Muhammad was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aamul Vilada. It was 570 or 571 Christian era. What happened? At that time in Yemen, Yemen was governed by the Abyssinians. And from the king of Abyssinia, there was a governor, Abraha, in Yemen. These were Christian, these people. They were under the Roman Empire. So this person became very envious of Kaaba, that people from all corners of Arabia go to Kaaba to pay pilgrimage. So he built a very high cathedral so that people should come here. But no Arab came there. They kept going to Kaaba. So in fury and anger, he decided, I'll destroy Kaaba, demolish it, raise it to ground. So he proceeded with a very big army, which had some elephants also. He himself was mounted on an elephant. Now this army came from Yemen till Makkah. Nobody in the way could check them. It was a very big army. And the elephants for these people of Arabia, something new, what is it? So frightened like anything. Then he, you know, stayed outside Makkah and sent a person to Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the chief of Makkah. And he said that we have not come to fight you, only we want to demolish this house. The answer Abdul Muttalib gave was, also we can't fight you, we don't resist, can't resist you, you know. As for this house, this belongs to Allah. If he wishes, he will save it. And then he requested for his 200 camels that the army people of Abraha had looted and plundered, which belonged to Abdul Muttalib. And Abraha said, oh, I have come to destroy your sanctuary. And you are more mindful of these camels of yours. He said, I own the camels. So I am thinking about them. I don't own this house. This house is owned by someone else. He will take care of it. So when they attacked, what happened? Alam tara kaifa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the companions of the elephant, the army accompanied by elephants? When it was coming forward, at a certain stage, the elephants sat on which Abraha was sitting. And they tried everything to goad it, but it didn't move. Then, you know, swarms of small birds appeared from the site of the Red Sea. And they had very small stones made of baked clay in their beaks and feet, and they threw them. And these small pellets, they acted as bullets. Most of the army destroyed. And whosoever could have an escape on way back, there was, you know, an epidemic broke out of smallpox or measles, pustules all over the body. And Abraha and all the people, they perished. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his house. Alam yaj'al kaidahum fi tadlil. Did he not make their plan go astray? Warsala alayhim tayran ababil. And he sent against them swarms of birds, flights and flocks of birds. Tarmihim bihijaratim min sijil, striking them with the stones of baked clay. Faja'alahum kasfim makur. And thus he made them like the straw which has been eaten up. Suratul Quraysh, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now these are the conditions of the people of Makkah and around it. First of all, their economic backbone or lifeline was trading. They became the link in the east-west trade. I've explained many times regarding the nation of Saba also. Previously, the people of Yemen, they were the proprietors of this trade. But after the flood of Arim, they were destroyed. So now this trade came in the hands of the Quraysh. All the merchandise from eastern islands, India, China, it used to come on the ships and boats and unload it at the coast of Yemen. And all the merchandise from Europe came to the coast of Syria, Palestine. Now, because there was no Suez Canal, and that, you know, round the Cape of Good Hope, that route had to be discovered about 800 years later, 1498. So, now, between these two points, caravans going there, coming down, going up to the north, to the south, and this way they became the link, inevitable link in the east-west trade. And they got the monopoly. Why? No caravan could pass without being looted and attacked, except the caravan of the Quraysh. Why? They were the custodians of Kaaba. And you know, the idols of all the tribes, their gods, they were placed in Kaaba. So to say, they were hostages with the Quraysh. How could they loot the caravan of Quraysh? So they traveled without any fear. So this was the basis of their prosperity. Li'ilafi Quraysh. To make Quraysh accustomed. Accustomed to what? Ilafihim li'ilatashitai masayif. They are becoming accustomed to journeying in the winter and the summer. For this purpose, now it is mahzoof, understood. We granted them protection from any attack. This was from Allah, due to the house of Allah, due to Baytullah. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتُ. So in return, they should worship the Lord of this house. Why have they taken these idols for worship? All their prosperity depends upon this house. And this house was built by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi as-salam for Tawheed, not for shirk. Allazi atamahum min ju, that Lord of this house, he has fed them against hunger. Wa amanahum min khawf, and he has given them the security and peace from fear. Now the third. What was the moral condition of the society at that time? This is the subject matter of Surah Al-Ma'un. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the person who denies the recompense, the judgment, the reward of the hereafter? Now, this was the main thing. They never said there is no Allah. They believed Allah. And they accepted that He is the creator of all the universe. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. And also about their small gods and goddesses. They never said that they are the creators or they give us the nourishment and sustenance, no? هَؤُلَاءِ سُفَعَوْنَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They are going to intercede on our behalf before our Lord. So there was a very fine demarcation. But the real thing was that they didn't believe in resurrection. That was the root cause of their decay regarding morality. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the person who denies and belies the judgment, the recompense, the requital, and the reward of the hereafter? فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدْعُ الْيَتِيمِ. So he is the one who repulses the orphan. Not kind to orphan. Why? Why not to eat up all the belongings or wealth of the orphan? You know, so detailed instructions given in the beginning of Surah An-Nisa about the wealth of the orphans who are under your care. If you eat anything from it, you are eating and you are putting into your stomachs life, coal, burning coal, burning cinders. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And the second manifestation of their low morality, and he urges not the feeding of the poor and hungry. What to speak of feeding himself? He doesn't ask anybody else also, lest he should ask him. So they were very cunning in this respect. If I say to him, okay, there are these hungry people, you feed them, he can say, why don't you do it yourself? So, وَلَا يَحُطُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. You don't say anything to me, I won't say anything to you. That's the gentleman agreement between us. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. So, woe to the performers of Salah. Salah was there. Because Hajj and Salah, these two things were established by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They have disfigured. They have changed. Number one, the Salah, that was now a mere ritual and nothing else. No spirit. Just as we have made it a ritual. A mere ritual. رَهْ گَئِ رَسْمِ عَزَانْ رُوحِ بِلَالِ نَرَهِ فَلْسَفَا رَهْ گِيَا تَلْقِينِ غَزَالِ نَرَهِ. It's a ritual. Juma is a ritual. Hajj is a very big ritual. A person who goes for Hajj and comes back, no difference in his behavior or character. As he went there, in the same condition he comes back. When he went there, he was involved in riba or other things, haram shay. And when he comes back, he's starting again. So what is this Hajj? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. They are not mindful and they are heedless of the spirit of their salah. What we have done. But in addition, they had disfigured the salah also. They used to clapping of hands and whistling with mouths. تَسْلِيَةً وَمُقَا. So it became more of a fun than actually worship. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاوُونَ. Whatever virtue was there, to feed the hungry, for example, as I quoted Abu Jahl, if they fed the hungry, we also fed the hungry more than them. But this was to show off. Not to please Allah. Not to hope the reward in the hereafter. That is out of sight, out of mind. So what can be the purpose of doing anything good? Except to show it to the people so that they say, oh, he is a noble person. Oh, he has done a good deed. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعَاوُونَ. And they go so low regarding human relations that refuse even a small assistance or kindness to others. For example, you know, to borrow some, give me some salt, or can I borrow the fire from your fireplace? Even that they were not ready to do for each other. So this is the picture of their moral decadence. In this background now arose the son of the messengerhood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surah Al-Kawthar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar. Verily, surely, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have given you all the good in abundance. According to some traditions, this Kawthar is also the name of a fountain which will be there in the plain of the gathering, Yawmul Qiyamah, and the plain of Hashr, when everybody would be very thirsty, very thirsty, very thirsty. Then this fountain of Kawthar, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be the in charge. Whosoever from his ummah. But his ummah is the one. His ummati is the one who has followed him. Followed his example. Practically. So their thirst will be quenched from that fountain of Kawthar. Literally, and this is the saying of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that Kawthar means khair kaseer, abundant good of every kind. Now actually, then the exfoliation of this came before the world. What Allah gave to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody could even imagine in the beginning of his mission that this would come to him. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَارِ. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you pray to your Lord and offer sacrifice. This is, so to say, the picture of Eid al-Azha. We go to pray, 2 rakat. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray to him, then come back. And sacrifice the animals in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. إِنَّ شَادِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ. Surely it's your enemy who shall be cut off from the root. Now this abtar was a word which was used by the Arabs for a person who had no male child. Either no son was born to him or whosoever was born died in infancy. Now they thought, when he dies, his name will die with him. No progeny. Progeny continues with the sons, not with the daughters, basically. So when 2 sons of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah gave him through Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, when they died, so the Quraysh, the enemies, they rejoiced. Especially Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. And they said, don't worry. Muhammad is abtar. He has no son now. His name will be finished. No will be there to keep his name alive. So Allah is hurling that taunt upon them. Inna shaniyaka huwa al-abtar. Verily, your enemies will be the ones whose name will go off. Even their own progeny will not like to mention that we are the sons of Abu Lahab. Can anybody boast? No. Surah Al-Kafirun. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun. ولا انتم عابدون ما اعبد ولا انا عابد ما عبدتم ولا انتم عابدون ما اعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. This is very important and it must have been revealed. It is a Makkan surah, no doubt, but it must have been revealed at the end of the Makki period, when after 12 years long, you know, admonition and da'wah and preaching and teaching proved to be of no avail to the majority of the people of Quraysh at Makkah. Now it was sort of a parting of ways. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. And this is the only surah, only place in Quran where ya ayyuhal kafirun. Ayyuhal jahilun we have in Surah Zumar. قُلْ أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَعْمُرُونِ عَبُدُ أَيُّهَا الْجَاهِلُونَ. But that's only one place. And this is only place. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Oh, you kafirs. Otherwise, Quran is, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, يَا أَيُّهَا. Oh, people, oh, mankind. Because da'wah needs this type of address. But this surah is not for da'wah. It is, so to say, saying that the da'wah is finished now. Bygone. Say, oh, the disbelievers, لا عبد ما تعبدون. I don't worship whom you worship. ولا أنتم عبدون ما عبد. Nor you worship whom I worship. What's in the between the lines? Actually, the mushrikeen, they said, we also worship Allah. Allah is common between you and us. Allah said, Allah says to Muhammad, tell them, you are not worshipping Allah. Because Allah is the one who has no associate whatsoever with him. So you have created an Allah of your own thought, your own imagination. You are not worshipping the Allah whom I am worshipping. Name might be the same. But Musamma, to whom that name is being given, absolutely different in my mind and your mind. And I am not going to, this is the final, I am never going to worship whom you are worshipping. Nor are you going to worship whom I am worshipping. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. But you is your deen. For me is my deen. So it's a parting of ways. Go you your way, I am going my way. Maybe I'm going to Medina. Okay. Surah An-Nasr. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iza jaa nasrullahi wal fath. Wa raita an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir innahu kana tawwaba. When the help from Allah comes and victory kisses your feet. Most of the people think that this surah is Madaniya. And it was revealed after the victory had come. Actually, in that case, it should have been Izja. It is Izaja. Izza refers to the future. It was a prophecy, actually. And this is Makki surah, according to me. All the surahs we are reading from Suratul Mulk up till now, they're all Makki, no Madani surah. According to my opinion, only the Mu'awwazatain are the two Madani surahs that come at the end. Otherwise, all these surahs are Makki. So it was said there as a prophecy that, oh Muhammad, the time will come. You are facing hardships, no doubt. You are seeing no way. But a time will come. When that time comes and the help of Allah arrives, and victory comes to you, it kisses your feet. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you see people entering the deen of Allah in multitudes. Now what is deen of Allah? The system of life where Allah is supreme. This is deen of Allah. We have in Surah Yusuf, deen al-Malik. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. Hazrat Yusuf could not detain with him his brother Binyamin. According to the law of the king, Yusuf alayhi salam was not the king. The king was the one who saw that dream. And because Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam gave an interpretation of that dream, so he rose to that position, a very high position. He was a very big officer, so to say, maybe finance minister, maybe food minister, maybe agriculture minister, sort of that thing, but not king. So he was under the rule of the king, Din al-Malik. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to devise, you know, a special thing for him, so that he could detain or retain his brother with him. So when, you know, a king is accepted as monarch, as Fir'aun, you know, said, Alay Salim Mulku Misr, Wahazihil Anwaru, Hazihil Anharu Tajri Min Tahti. Is not the kingdom of Egypt from me? I am the king. And all these irrigation channels are under my control. So this is the deen of king, deenul malik. And deen of Allah, obedience to Allah. Whole life under this obedience to Allah. Now somebody is entering this deen of Allah, it's not necessary that he has iman also. He has accepted the obedience. So he is in the deen of Allah. Do you follow what I'm saying? He has accepted the citizenship of this Islamic state. We don't know whether he has iman or not. Some of you must have recalled that ayah number 14 of Surah Al-Hujurat. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. These Bedouins are claiming we have come to believe. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have not at all come to believe. All you may say is, you have surrendered. You have submitted. You have accepted the supremacy of the law of Allah and the deen of Allah. So when that victory will come, and you will see people entering the deen of Allah, accepting the supremacy of the divine rule in multitudes. فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Then at that time, you should glorify your Lord with his praise and also ask for his forgiveness. الرَّبُّ رَبٌّ وَإِن تَنَزَّلْ وَالْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ وَإِن تَرَقَّى. A servant or a bondsman is a servant, howsoever high he might rise. And Allah is the Lord, howsoever low he might come. He comes to the first heaven every night. Muhammad went to the seventh heaven on the night of Miraj, ascension. But even there, Muhammad was abd. And Allah was Lord. So having reached that position also, never think that you will be very absolutely free from any shortcoming. Shortcoming might be there. But we cannot have this on the analogy of our shortcomings. This word of Zamb has also come in Surah Muhammad, Zamb, and Surah Fatah. But you know, our sin and Huzur, this sin of Muhammad, absolutely different. There's the hadith, Prophet says, إِنَّهُ لَيُغَانُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِي. Verily, on my heart also, sometimes I feel there is some curtain has come. وَإِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ. And we apologize to Allah. And I ask for his forgiveness 70 times every day. But what was that sin? A slight diminution in the intensity of relationship. This depends upon how sensitive you are to these things. So for this you ask the forgiveness. Surely, إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. He is ever relenting, always ready to accept the repentance from his servants. Now this surah, I think, should be read with Suratul Inshirah. Today we began with that surah. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ is here. when the deen of Allah will become supreme in the Arabian Peninsula, your work will be done. Why we sent you for that purpose? هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. When the deen has become dominant, now your mission is accomplished. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Now you meditate to your Lord, devote wholly and solely, you know, to Him. The same thing here. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Suratul Lahab. Again, something concerning the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Lahab was the uncle, and Umm Jamil, his wife, both were the worst enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have any brother, nor he ever saw his father, but he has uncles. Now we see how varied. About four we know. One loved him, protected him, but didn't believe in him. One believed him and loved him, but after 6 years. The third one also finally came to believe in him. But he never played any prominent role in the struggle. So much so that up till Badr, he had not declared that he is Mu'min. And he came to Badr along with the army of Kuffar. But the Prophet knew that he is a Mu'min. And the fourth one is Abu Lahab, the worst enemy. And as I told you, the worst character. The best character of that time, Abu Bakr, Atqa. And the worst character of that time was this Abu Lahab. And this incident happened when the command came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fasda bima tumar. This ayah is included in the last portion of Suratul Hijr. Now say loudly, O Muhammad, what had been commanded to you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we ascended the hillock of Safa. And he raised a cry, Wa sabaha! This was the custom of the Arabs. If some news came to you that such and such tribe is planning to attack you, this night they will attack you. Now you want that this news should reach all the people immediately so that they can take the precautionary steps, whatever they can take. So what did he used to do? Take off all his clothings, absolute naked, ascended some high place, and then cried out, Wa sabaha! Woe to the morning that is coming. A very bad morning is coming. Now two things happened. Where his voice reached, people heard this. Where the voice was not reaching, people saw a naked man standing on their own. And they called it Nazir-e-Uriyan, the warner, the naked warner. Now here's the lesson for us. If you have to make da'wah, you see, what are the means available today? Whatever is haram in it, delete. Whatever is permissible, you have to use. If you don't use, then you are to blame. So when Muhammad ascended, and wa sabaha, he cried, people cried to him. But then I can't go into detail. When he presented his message, the first response was from Abu Lahab. Tabban laka li hadha jama'atana. Woe to you. Perish you. Did you call us for this thing? We thought there is some danger. You have got some news. You want to warn us from some possible attack of any tribe. So in response, this surah was revealed. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. Actually, the both hands of Abu Lahab have perished. The hands of Muhammad are not going to perish. And watab, and he himself has been perished. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. His wealth will not avail him, nor what he earned. He met a very, very sad end. He couldn't go to Badr. He was coward also. I said, worst character. And because he was the custodian of the treasure of Kaaba, so he was the minister of finance, so to say, of their government at Makkah. And he has stolen, people used to say that he has stolen a golden, calf from that betrayer. So that was the name that was given to him, the stealer of the calf. So he didn't have any good reputation whatsoever. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. His wealth is not going to avail him. But what happened? In Badr also he sent a person, mercenary, paid him, go in my place. He couldn't go. Then this person was so rash against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two of the daughters of the Prophet were engaged to two of his sons. He said, go and give talaq to both of them in the open. Address Muhammad and say, we give talaq to your daughters. And they did it in the open. And this was a very big humiliation. Both later on died. The Prophet prayed against them. For one who was more vocal, the Prophet said, oh Allah, let loose on him one of your dogs. He was coming back from Syria, leading a caravan. During the night, they were staying somewhere. And he knew that Muhammad has prayed this thing against him. So he used to have, fire around him where he rested during the night. But a tiger came, jumped over that fire, ate him up, went back. Sayasla naran zata lahab. Then, he also died. Pustules appeared over the whole of his body. And then, this was bad smell coming out. And there were, the organisms in those wounds moving. So nobody from his family could go near him. And then when he died, nobody was ready to touch him. With the help of a wood, they dug a grave and then, just pushed him by this wood, not touching him. This was the end. تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبَّ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ. He will enter the fire which is flaming. وَمْرَاتُهُ, not only he, also his wife. حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ, the carrier of firewood. فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ, upon her neck a rope of palm fibers will be there. Now she was a very rich lady. She used to have a very fine and costly necklace around her neck. But in the hereafter, this necklace will take the form of a rope of the fibers of date palm tree. And with that, it will bring, fuel and add to the fire of her husband, adding fuel. Because, wives, either they support you in your deen or they oppose you. And if they are also on the wrong path, they are supporting the wrong path. In the same way, she will be kindling the fire of hell for her husband. Suratul Ikhlas, the surah about which the Prophet has said, it's equal to 1/3 of the whole Quran. Surasul Quran, the most profound surah on the subject of Tawheed. But Tawheed fil aqeedah and tawheed fil zat, in the person. But ayatul kursi is the most profound in the tawheed fil sifat, attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed fil sifat, highest prayer, the biggest prayer is ayatul kursi. Tawheed fil zat, the biggest prayer is this suratul ikhlas. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, he is Allah, the only one, rather the alone. none with him, none like him, no partner with him. Allahu Samad. All eternally ask him, beseech him. He is the besought of all. We have read the ayah in Surah Al-Rahman. Yas'aluhu man fi samawati wa man fi al-ard. Everyone who is in the heavens or in the earth, keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't need anyone, but everybody, everything needs him. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Neither he begat nor he was begotten. No father or mother, no son or daughter whatsoever. Wa lam yakul lahu kuhuwan ahad. And there is none co-equal with him or comparable to him. In the end, we have two sentinels guarding this Quran. Al-Mu'awwadhatain. A very, very beautiful, you know, pair of surahs. And there is an opinion of Abdullah ibn Masood that actually these surahs are not part of Quran. They were revealed for treating Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when some Jew had done some sorcery against him. But the consensus of the Ummah is that they are a part and parcel of Quran. And my opinion, these two surahs are only the Madani surahs in this last group of Makki Madani surahs. In the first surah, only one surah was Makki. That is Suratul Fatiha. And Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, Al-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, Madaniyat. This is the converse. From Suratul Mulk to Surat Ikhlas, all Makkiyat, none Madani. And these two are Madani. Qul a'uzu bi Rabbil Falaq. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord of the Dawn. Min sharri ma khalaq. From all the evil of all that he has created. This is very noteworthy. Whatever is created is definitely incomplete. Completion is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All creation has to be incomplete from one aspect or the other. And this aspect of incompletion adds to it some sort of shar, some sort of evil. So I take refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of everything that he has created. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ. And from the evil of the darkness when it overspreads. Because, you know, in the night the criminals are active and so on. The jinns also. The evil spirits, as you call them. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاسَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And from the evil of the blowers at the knocks. Knots, sorcerers, magicians. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. And from the evil of an envier, a jealous person, when his malignant envy is carried out in action. حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ. When he is actively engaged in bringing his jealousy into action, translating it into practice. So these are the evils which befall human beings from without, outside. Now there is a very big evil which comes from within. And that is the subject of the last surah. Surah An-Nas, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul a'uzu bi Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas, Min Sharril Waswasil Khannas. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Say, I seek refuge from the Lord of mankind. Now this Lord, you know, is the translation of Rabb. What is Rabb? The owner, the sustainer, the provider, the developer. All these things go to make Rabb. Allah is the Lord or Rabb of the mankind. Malikin Nas. He is the king of all mankind, sovereign. He is to be obeyed. His laws are to be enforced. His obedience is to be accepted. Ilahin Nas. And the God of mankind. God, to whom you call for help, for any deliverance from any affliction which has come to you, to whom you pray, and whosoever grants your prayers is your God, Allah. So, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. These are the three attributes we may say of Allah. If you remember, these are the same which are mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din or Malik Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'bud, Ma'bud, Ilah, these three things. Min Shagril Waswasil Khannas, from the evil of the whisperer, who whispers in the hearts of the people and then recedes and withdraws, goes back. Min al-jinnati wal-nas, whether he be from among the jinn or mankind. Now this is an attack through your own baser self. Not outside. Nothing is attacking you from outside. Your own id or libido, your own baser self is activated. So now the shar is coming from within you. Although this fire is ignited by him who is whispering in you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of this Quran and the courage to resolve that we should practice it, propagate it, and establish it in the world. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alam.